Go to the scriptures. We're talking about healing the brokenhearted this morning. I don't know if that falls in the same category of what we've just witnessed this morning. There are many people that are hurting, and our topic area is, of course, reaching the lost and reaching the hurting. We're looking at the text in Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, and we're going to read there. There's a number of scriptures we'll go to. Hope those of you that are online, and someone just told me that they weren't hearing the sound on the live stream, so I'm not sure what's happening. So hopefully you can correct that if anybody knows anything about that around here. I think it might be corrected by now. Luke 4, 17 to 19. Jesus is speaking. I guess we know that the book of Luke is written by Luke. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I focus your attention, or at least want you to focus your attention on the phrase, "heal the brokenhearted," and the other phrase, "set at liberty them that are bruised." The whole idea of my message this morning, at least a major part of it, is that the idea that hurting people hurt people. We need to get busy out there and to reach out to those that are hurting and get them healed and begin to do what Jesus called us to do. God wants us to heal the brokenhearted. Someone once said, as I mentioned earlier, as a main idea, that hurting people hurt people. There are many hurting people around us in this world. They're trying to find relief from the turmoil they're suffering inside of their hearts and their minds. Perhaps maybe memories that won't go away, maybe heartaches that just won't disappear. Nothing just disappears without us cooperating with God and doing something. Jesus said he was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. And he's sending each one of us, you and I, to do the same thing he did, and that is by the Spirit of God and by his word to bring those that are lost and those that are hurting healing. Don't let the hurting around you needlessly suffer while you look around and do nothing, just stand around and just don't reach out. Don't let them suffer anymore. Don't let another day go by without reaching out to someone. If you are hurting yourself, learn to receive healing. Learn to receive healing in your heart. Learn to receive healing in your spirit. Only God alone can heal. Psalm 47, verse 3, I believe the youth have read some of this. Luke, the Amplified Bible, the classical edition says of Psalm 147, 3, "He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." How many people today are walking around with broken hearts? They might not look injured. If you see them at the Tim Hortons donuts or walking through the mall, you might meet someone and they're smiling on the outside, and on the inside they're hurting. Sometimes all we need to do is smile and give someone a handshake and tell them they're okay and that you care for them. Reading that one more time, Psalm 47, 147, 3, in Amplified Classical says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, curing their pains and sorrows. How many people are got pain in their heart, and sorrow, suffering from grief, suffering from memories and lost dreams? They say people by the age of 40 or somewhere around there go through a crisis because they've never attained anything in life that's worth talking about. They just want to forget the past and maybe pretend it never really happened. Psalm 57, verse 15, the New Living Translation says, The high and lofty one who lives in the eternity, the Holy One says, I live in the high and holy places with those whose spirits of a contrite and humble heart, I restore the crushed spirit. And of a humble heart, and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. You know, God wants us to turn to Him. Somebody said the only way to heal your broken heart is give God all the broken pieces. Don't just give God part of your soul. Don't give God just part of yourself. Present your whole self. The Bible says present your whole self to God. Romans 12. The Bible says that God wants to heal our whole spirit, our soul and body. Let me read the New Living Translation of Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. You know, God has given you enough information right now where you're sitting to bring something good to someone, a good news to somebody. Just to remind them that all is not lost. He has sent me to proclaim that to the captives will be released. There are people that are hurting out there. In our city, we got lots of people who are on drugs. We have a group right here, executives that are working on, something's going to happen next weekend. They're going to have a big production to make sure that we reach out to these people. The people who are they're lost and dying, their moms and dads that are worried right now, that are waking up this morning while you drink your coffee. Moms and dads are at home wondering where their son is, wondering where their daughter is, wondering where dad is right now. I was one of them. I'm one of them. I'm still in the same situation. No one's ever asked me, how am I doing? How's my wife doing? There's people right in this room right now that I haven't healed from their daughter's death, their son's death. And yet we go around our merry way, pretend there's nothing going on. We need to reach out, people. We're so busy with our excellent lives that we forget people that are hurting. He sent me to help the blind and to help the oppressed go free. God wants all the oppressed to be free. He wants all the oppressed to be free. The definition of oppression means it means a sense of being weighed down in body and mind. How many people know that when you're depressed, even your body is sick? Your body feels heavy. Your spirit, your mind is weighed down. Here's what Jesus said about everyone, all of us. He said in Amplified Bible, the Luke 10:19, the Amplified Classical, he said, Behold, I have given you authority. Not he's going to try to do it. Not that one day you'll have it. If you're born again, God has given you authority. And he's given you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. That's the enemy of any sort. Physical and mental strength and ability. God will, when you're weighed down in spirit, God says, even if you're sick yourself right now, you can turn to someone and get yourself your healing by turning your eyes on someone else to heal them. You know, a lot of people, they shy away when they're suffering. They don't do anything. They close the curtain down, shades down, and they spend time on their own. That's exactly what the devil wants. is that you would be shut up in your own home. Don't talk to anybody because they might ask you something. If we just reach out, I remember I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for many years, and I had so much pain. And they told me, go and find somebody and help them. I think we in the church could learn a few things from those people. He said, we have this ability over all the power of the enemy, anything he possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That's a promise from Jesus, that nothing's going to harm you. But people don't believe this. They think, well, I'm hurting too bad. I got too much pain. If you focus on all your pain, yes, that's what you're going to be. You'll be crippled for life. And you're not going to do anything about it. The devil has lied to people so much that they believe that they can't do anything about what's happening in their lives. They believe their body more than they believe the scripture. They believe their mind more than they believe what the Bible says. They believe more in their weakness, more in their inabilities than they believe the Bible. But if we just believe the Bible, start acting like it's true, like God said he's given you strength, then strength will rise up inside of you. David had a bunch of misfits, if you can relate to David. Not David down the street, but David from the Bible. David had a bunch of misfits join him who had all kinds of oppression, all kinds of problems. They had misery. I think they like that song, Misery. They had debt. They had discontentment. They were in bad situations. They came to Jesus, or they came to, excuse me, David for help. Can you imagine being a leader of these sorts of people with all kinds of trouble and all kinds of pain, all kinds of situations, you know, leaders that you know, even myself, you know, that, you know, you're supposed to be expert in everything. You're supposed to be an expert builder. You're supposed to be a clinician, a psychologist. You've got to be, you know, an army general. You got to be a TV evangelist. You got to be everything. how to raise money. And so, you know, some of these people are in difficult situations. And so David, the Bible said over here in 1 Samuel 22, 1-2, the common English Bible. David left Gath and escaped to Adullam's fortress. When David's siblings and all his extended family learned this of this, they went to join him there. Everyone who was in trouble, in debt, or in desperate circumstances, gathered around David, and he became their leader. Approximately 400 people, that's the whole reserve. Some of you come from. I mean, Suckle Creek didn't have more than 12 people. Hey? There's a whole people, like, you know, people come around you, if you're looking pretty good, they'll come and ask you for help. But we need to get our eyes on the Lord in those situations. So God wants us to help people with his word and his power. We can't do it because he said he would help us. He wouldn't say something if he wasn't going to do it. He cannot tell a lie about anything. Numbers 23:19 said this. The common English Bible says, God isn't a man that he would lie, or a human being that he would change his mind. Has he ever spoken and not done it, or promised and not fulfilled it? God has asked us to heal the brokenhearted. God has asked us to help heal the bruised. And many of us haven't gotten over ours yet. But God still, you know, I can't stop. I couldn't stop as a young man. I couldn't stop to heal all my wounds. I had to continue to go ahead. And I couldn't wait till I'm completely healed. I had to go out and help somebody. Don't wait till you're fully healed. You'll never get healed. You'll find new things to get hurt about. Hey? Is anybody here today? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says this, common English. Well, it says, you notice I've been using the common English because people out here are very common a phone. The Lord said, he's talking to Jeremiah because he's asking Jeremiah something. What do you see? He says, you are right. Then he said, for I'm watching over my word until it's performed. When we begin to operate, when we, you know, God already set the tone. He's already set in operation his healing. God has already set in operation your ability. So when you begin to act on the word, that ability will click in into you as you reach out to somebody. You know, we need to start exactly where we're at today. I was talking to Riel yesterday. You know, Riel, you know, he helped us up with the building. He was very encouraging to me as I came to Lucy's party. I don't see Lucy here today, nor the mother. Is she here on here today? I was going to shake Lucy's hand. Lucy, grandmother, everybody is missing. Grandpa is missing too. Guess it must be the cake or something. But he encouraged me. He said, I like you. I'm glad he likes me. Something like that anyway. He said, you get things started, you get things going. You don't wait around for things to happen. You just go ahead. You know that building that you're going to build? You'll build that building. And we don't just say things, we say things in faith. But, you know, you don't have to wait till you become an expert. I didn't go to carpentry school. I didn't have any kind of electrical training. I didn't have any television training. I didn't have a pastor's degree or when I started becoming a pastor. We can't wait for things. When I started helping people in Alcoholics Anonymous to help them, they had all kinds of problems, sexual abuse and losing family, financial problems. And yet we just sat around and talked and we helped each other. You don't have to have a degree and go to university 4 years. In fact, they'll mess you up that you won't be able to help anybody. Until you have to have all these qualifications. Acts 1:8, Jesus said this. He said, begin to minister where you at. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, number one, and all Judea, number two, and in Samaria, number three, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, number four. Four places that we're all to go to be this witness. He didn't say go door to door witnessing. He said be a witness. Be a witness. Be that. Be victorious wherever you are. Be confident wherever you are. Be healed wherever you are so that people will see that it's possible for them to be healed, but if you can get healed, they can get healed. Let's examine a little bit further what he said to these disciples. These disciples, remember, were Jewish people who lived right in Jerusalem. They were encouraged to go not only into Jerusalem, but also to go beyond their familiarity and perhaps into places that they made them feel uncomfortable. He told them to go to Samaria. Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. God is asking you to go to people that you don't necessarily hang up with every week. He wants you to go shake someone's hand and be that person, to be that witness. It's fine to come to church. Thank God you come to church. But there are people out there that need you to know you care about them. You don't have to tell them, carry a sign that says Jesus is Lord. Just go ahead and show a little care. Amen? It's not always easy going out to missions or anything. Or it's not easy to be an evangelist traveling all over around. It's not easy. It's not easy being a traveling teacher where you have to leave your family for months at a time, leave your home, your comfortable home, and travel constantly. It's not easy. I've heard of people who've done it, and they never raised their children. They were traveling constantly. Their wife was the one who raised the kids. And when they couldn't remember what city were they in. They traveled so many times that they couldn't remember what city they were in. Mark Davey, right now, he's stuck in Africa. Hope he stays there. We're going to edit this program. I love Mark Davey. I love it. I remember over years ago, Mark Davey was a hard man. You know, if you think he's hard, no, wait before he was, before that. When we first started together years ago, his wife said to me, "Pastor Roma, Mark needs a friend." She gave me a purpose in ministry. So I became his friend. Anyway, what did Jesus mean when he said he'd be a witness? Well, in Jerusalem, right there where they were at, the moment that he was speaking to them, he said, it represented that going to their back door, right in their back door, that they'd be a witness. Going to the homes and going to the people, going to the neighborhood and their community, right where they're at, to be a witness of Jesus, sending the love of God out. Jesus said that we should go out to witness and to share that love. Perhaps here's what we could do as a practicality, perhaps just giving someone a ride to church on Sunday. I know you're busy. And you could actually inconvenience yourself and drive a little extra 10 miles or 5 minutes or something and pick up somebody. Sharing a ride to go and get somebody. Perhaps it's even buying somebody a hot drink. Huh? Tea or coffee on a cold wintry morning as you even drive them to church. They say, "Hey, I'm not going to pick you up, but I'm going to give you some Timmy as well." They might come to church. It's because they want to ride in your nice car and your Timmy's. Maybe shoveling somebody's driveway. I told you last week I started a brand new company. Two boys showed up at my house with shovels. He said, "Sir, can we clean your lawn?" He said, "Well, how much you charge?" And they said, "Well, anything." I said, "You're hired." I got to laugh a story about a man, a First Nations man. He sobered up, what do you call these houses? You know, they just sober up downtown. You know, halfway house or just a drunk tank, basically where you sleep on the floor. And he went to some kind of center and he sobered up, joined AA, and he said he had nothing, he had no work, he had nowhere to go. So he people encouraged him, just go find something. And so a lady in the church that he was at, or somewhere there, a meeting somewhere, and he said, "Hey, I need somebody to help me paint my house." And he said, "Can you do it?" He said, "Oh yeah, I can do it." So he hired. Okay, you're hired. So he didn't have any equipment, nothing, no car, nothing, no tools, no paintbrush, nothing. So other people in the program said, "Say, hey, I can lend you a ladder. I can give you some paint. I'll lend you a loan, and so on." So he went out and got himself a ladder because someone gave him a ladder. So he took his ladder and all his tools, and he's standing there by the bus stop. He's got no car. He's got to get to work. So the bus driver stops, looks at him, and said, "You got to be kidding." Guy says, "No, I'm not. I got a job. I got to work." So he said, "I'm going to let you in this time, but not next time." So hey. He went out and helped himself, get himself a job. Maybe it's shoveling snow, as we said, cleaning someone's yard and helping someone do some spring cleaning. Just practical, something like that. Buying somebody food, and if you notice somebody around your area that needs food, take them some food. And maybe somebody needs babysitting service. Maybe a mom needs to get out by herself. Maybe she needs some help house cleaning. Are you writing this down? Okay. Maybe it's, to go and see somebody in a hospital or who can't get out. So it's just a demonstration of God's love in your Jerusalem. You can think about many things. I just wrote a few things down. Titus chapter 3, verses 8 and 14 says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things that thou shalt affirm constantly. That's talking about me as a pastor confirming this to you. God is telling me as a pastor to remind every one of you about this. That they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Ask yourself one thing right now. Are you maintaining good works for Jesus? For God's love? To go and help somebody. I'm not talking about your job, your work, but other things that you could be doing. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14, let ours also, or let all the church here, he's talking about, let them to learn to maintain good works for necessary uses that they will not be unfruitful. God does not want you to be unproductive. He wants you to produce something. Make something happen. God has given us the power to witness. We have been given the power and sent out to reach the lost and the dying. He said he would give us power to go to our Jerusalem, to go to all Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Over there in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 20, there's an exhortation by the Lord. The Bible says in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. After the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat at the right hand of the God. They went forth. They went forth. And preached to everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. He gave an exhortation to do it. Then when you go and do it, he confirms what he said he'd do. Jesus said he'd do it. If you go out right now and find somebody, they said, I'm going to help you. Just put them in your car and say, I'm helping you. I'm taking you to the hospital right now. He said, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm taking you to the cops first. The mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission to reach the lost. He said to his disciples, For the Son of Man came to save that which is lost. Matthew 18 and 11. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 21, the New King James says, the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, the doors were shut and all the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And he said unto them, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The way God sent Jesus is the same way Jesus is sending us. He gave us the commission. John 14, 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because of going to my Father. In Luke 4:16, the words were spoken by the Lord Jesus on his mission on earth, which was reaching the lost, hurt and bruised, or the 4:18. We also have the same mission, to go out and heal those that are hurting. He said he was anointed by the Spirit to heal those that are sick physically, mentally, emotionally. There are vast amounts of people who are sick, both in the physical and the mental area. The soul of man can be just as sick as a physical body. In fact, the soul can be so impacted that it affects the physical body. Man is interconnected in all his areas. He is, first of all, spirit. He possesses a soul and lives in a physical body. When a man has the Holy Ghost in him, he can actually heal himself. Because the Bible wants you to know the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can command yourself to be well. It takes faith to do that. Not too many people here can do that maybe today. But you can do it. Just speak to your body every day. Say, thank God my body's getting well every day. I'm getting better every day. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. As you pop one of those pills and you say, oh, my back is sore. Oh, thank God I'm doing fine. You should have seen me yesterday. If you ever want to get better, start listening to Joel Osteen. I got him on my, on my radio, on my thing. I listen to him every day. Not every day, but when I think about it, I'll listen to Joel. All of a sudden, you're driving in the air when you're listening to him. I mean, you're just flying around. You know, God calls every one of us and he anoints us. Acts 1:8, the very scripture I gave you, he said, you shall receive power. Power of God. He said he had come upon you, and the Spirit of the Lord is there. In Luke chapter 4:18, he says he gives you that power. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible says that Paul is speaking to the church there at Corinth. He says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. God has anointed all of us. He's anointed his church. 2 Corinthians NIV says, verse 21, he says, he anointed us. Everybody say, I'm anointed. So every one of us is anointed to preach the gospel, to bring someone love. We're also anointed to heal the sick like Jesus did from whatever illness they might have. Just pray for them. It's not your job, my job, to heal them. It's our job to tell them and to just put your hands on them. There are many who are sick from environmental things. Some people are sick from accidents. Hereditary situations happen that passed on to them. They got ill biologically. Hereditary issues. But we can help somehow. Tonight, maybe today, we could go out and help these people. There are many people that today are going out without any kind of needs, basic needs to be met. There's nobody else to pat somebody on the back or just tell them, the days will change. They're going to get better. Many don't have their needs met today. Many will go to bed tonight with any basic food. Other people have no home, not a home to go to. They don't have a place called home. There's people that are insecure and they don't have security in their housing or where they're living. They don't have a safe environment, and maybe you can help them bring some little bit of peace to them. People need rest and restoration. You know, psychology tells us we have to have basic needs every day. Number one, we need a good place to stay. We need to be secure that no one's going to attack you. No one's going to inflict pain on you emotionally, mentally. No one's going to abuse you. People need security. We can help people. You know, all we want to do is rush to the church and rush back home. Make sure we rush out here. Don't shake anybody's hand. Just rush out as quick as you can. Now, I've never seen any faster than this on Sunday morning. Everybody rush out. Huh? I said, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's gone already. He's driving over there. Many people need emotional support and comfort. They say little babies that have no emotional support die prematurely and don't grow up with security. Most psychologists affirm that emotional support is a basic need for people, so we should continually affirm people. That's why when I have my monthly meetings, I always tell people what they like about this church, what they like about someone. I purposely do it. I tell people, what do you like about Free City Church? What do you like about that person there? What do you like about him? But so many people, they're looking at what they don't like about them. You might not like everything about them, but just find something that you like about them. Even if it's their hair. I try not to be that superficial. I like your hat. Well, that's not them. Their hat is not them. I find this is very hard for people. I watch people for the last 20 years or so. I've been doing this exercise, and people sometimes are just starting to get involved in it now, and they get up, they try very hard to find something good about someone. And they fumble through, you know, and they kind of make it up as they go along. I mean, you weren't walking together. You walk together with people, and you see them. And some people won't even come to that meeting, and they don't do it. And you wonder why they have dysfunction, because they don't learn these things. Who are we sent to? Jesus is speaking, speaking to Paul here. And he has a ministry. We all have a ministry to speak into someone's life, to share our experience. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous say, I'm going to share my experience. We all have experience. I'm going to share my experience, my strength, and my hope with somebody today. That's what I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to share my experience with them, to say what I came from and where I want to go today. And people, you know, they talk about, you know, when I went to that meeting, I went there because I got something out of that meeting. I went out of there, I felt this low, came out this high. And I still go today. I just go down the street sometime and just sit there and listen to people. Listen to what they're going through. If I can be a help, I don't have to speak. One day we went there, they have it for an hour, you know. And me and this last guy sitting there, he said, sorry, this is the last point, so we don't have any more chance for you to say anything. I didn't feel any resentment. I just said, thank God, man, I heard lots of good stories tonight. We don't have to say. And when the Lord sent me to the pastor's group up here, and I've been going there for about 30 years, 25 at least. And I always said, maybe one day they'll allow me to speak. They haven't allowed me to speak yet. But they respect me. But, you know, I was on the brand new boy on the street. I'm a Word of Faith man. And everybody thought I was crazy because I'm a Haganite and a Copelandite. You got to watch Roma. He's crazy. The church is a cult. I heard somebody mention that Faith City Church, Drilton, is a cult. I believe it. I mean, I believe somebody said that. You know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm protesting. I'm quitting. I'm not coming back to the meeting in the morning. I'm just so bored there. They don't pray like me. They don't pray in tongues. They don't do this and that. They don't shout and they don't jump around. And the Lord said to me, I didn't send you to go and prophesy anybody. I didn't send you to go and give a message. I just asked you to go there, to be part of that gang and just to show your support and love those pastors. I didn't ask you to want to be a superstar. They don't need that. They just need somebody to love them. So I said, well, I'll go. Acts 26:16. God's speaking to Paul. He says, rise up and stand on your feet. That's what a lot of you people need to do. Rise up and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. To make you a minister and a witness. Both the things which you have seen, the things which I will reveal to you. You know what? God's not finished with you. He wants you to be a minister and a witness. Ministering to the oppressed, ministering to the sick, ministering to the people who need the love of God. In Mark chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, when he got on the boat, he had been demon-possessed, begged him that he might be with him. Now Jesus ministered to this man who was demon-possessed. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home. Everybody say, go home. Say, say, E.T., go home. You know, God wants you to go home. He wants you to go home in your own community. Like, you know, for years I've been trying to run away from Thunder Bay. Oh, I better go somewhere else. I'm probably better somewhere else. That's what a lot of you say. I could go somewhere else and be some. No, you know, go where you are. Plant where you are right now. Bloom. Somebody said, bloom where you planted. If you're planted at Faith City Church, man, do your best when you're here. Be your best when you're here. No matter if somebody hurts you, just come anyway. Amen. There's people that are not here because someone hurt them. Big deal. Big deal. Come back. You know, there's some of you, I tried to kick you out, but you said, I'm not coming. I'm not going to leave. I'm coming back. Right? Be like those people. I said, I'm kicking you out. No, you're not. I'm staying here. I wish all the 95% of those other people would have stayed. Glory to God. Are you doing okay? So, those disciples, they're right there in Jerusalem. They were able to help people. God wants us to reach out. God's anointed us. God's called us. God's helping us. People need our support. Jesus said in the question is, who are we sent to? We're sent to our home. So he said to that one man in Mark 5, go home to your friends. Mark 5, 18 and 20, New King James says. Go home to your friends. Go home to your family. And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. God wants us to tell our family members. Some of you are so scared to tell your family member what God's done in your life. You know, tell them, say, God's healed me. They can say what they want to say. Just say, whatever you said, man, I'm healed anyway. I'm well. Jesus has said, and you have said, where should I go? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, he said, I heard a voice of the Lord saying unto me, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he says, here I am, Lord, send me. We need to have that prayer today. Lord, send me. Send me to somebody today. I heard there was a preacher, a great preacher one day. He said, Lord, send me to someone today who's about to die. Send me to that person right now who needs to hear the message of salvation. Send me to that person. Mark's gospel says, Mark 16:15, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Wherever you are, your world is where you are. Our mission is to tell the world and to everyone who would be open to us that Jesus and God loves them and that there's a hope for you. We have to examine our world. There are kids around us that are messed up in different situations. Families who are hurting, who need us. Mom's left alone with children. The husband's gone. She has no money. Young girls have been sexually molested or abused by even close family members. Young men who have been abused by religious leaders or people in authority. An alcoholic or a drug user who's just finding his way back, trying to find his way back into society. Perhaps someone who's tragically lost someone. And are grief-stricken. They need our help. We can look around. Who are we sent to? You're asking. People all around us are impacted. A large number of people who are hurting. We just have to look around where we can be a blessing. Just a little bit of blessing. People seeing you smile. Ask God to show you someone that can help you in your immediate world right now. Wherever you are. You know, sometimes I drive around, you know, maybe I'll go for coffee. Sometimes the people, the other day, I went to Tim Hortons just over here on Cumberland Street. I asked for this. It's not easy. It's not hard to ask for something. In my mind, I think, you know, what don't you understand about what I ordered? And that's what we sound like to people. I said, yes, hello, ma'am. Hi, how are you? I try to act nice. And they said, yes, sir. I said, I want a large decaf coffee. I want four bags in it. I want cream and sugar. And I said, okay, no problem. I got home. It was caffeinated coffee. It wasn't right. And I'm so mad. Next time I go there, I'll keep this. I'll make my own coffee right now or whatever. I'm going to go back. I went back there that afternoon. I said, I came here this morning, and I asked for 4 bags of orange pico coffee or tea. I wonder if she got mixed up. I don't even know what I want. She said to me, I was the one that ordered that. I was the one that did that. And she's just fighting mad. He said, how could I ever, I would have never mixed that up. I handed her my drink. You know, it's not decaf. I guess you could tell it's not decaf because it says decaf on it and on the bag itself with the string on. Oh, you can have that one for free. But no, I wasn't mean. I was just being so nice. I was just so wonderful nice. The other day, there was a young man where I went to buy some food. You know, I went to groceries. I went out to the gym and came back. And I was wondering why he was taking so long. There's not that many people at the store here. There's one man. He's just talking to this lady. I'm waiting. I'm trying to not to be, pushy. I'm trying to listen once in a while. What's going on? And he says, okay, I'll be right back. I'll go get some money. So he didn't have any money. Then it dawned on me. I said, did this guy doesn't have any money? Did he? Oh, yeah, forgot his money. He said, I'll pay for that. I said, first of all, how much is it? No, I said, I'll pay for it. He said, honey, no, that's fine, dear. I said, okay. I want to be helpful. I want to help somebody. I want to smile to people. Sometimes we go around, people are grumpy at us. You don't know what's going on with them. You don't know what happened to them. They might have lost their family member. They might have had a hard day at work. Maybe they got to live in a drug addict home. I don't know. I don't know what happened to them. Maybe they're stressed out. Maybe this is their third job that they worked through that day. I don't know. But we have a job to do, people. We have a job to do. We gotta bring the love. You know, the only way to hurt people is to love people. To show people you care for them. Tell them something. Tell them something nice. Do yourself a favor. Tell somebody something nice. Go out and find somebody and then make sure you tell them something nice. Or just go and, touch someone, just say, how you doing? We need to do that. Be nice to people. Let's go ahead and stand up. There's a world out there that needs you. There's a world out there that needs your care and your love. They need your support. How many people will go out and show somebody that you care about them? Show them you love them and appreciate them and tell someone. Just go ahead and tell someone, everybody, even if they heard it so many times in this church, you go ahead and you say, oh, I told Pastor that last time. No, you tell me again. I want to hear it. I dare you. I want love. How about you? You want somebody to tell somebody that you care for them. We need to do that, folks. We need to show each other care, first inside the church, and even more so outside. Lift both hands up and say, God, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your plan. Thank you that you put the love in my heart to love everybody. I'm going to reach out wherever I can. I'm going to be mindful that this is a hurting world. It's not all about me. Even if I'm hurting, I'm having a hard time, I'm going to reach out to somebody. I'm going to even pray for them. I want to thank you, God, for that ability today. I have the love of God in my heart. I have the power to preach to somebody that God loves them, that I love them, that I care about them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, man, that's a good message. Let's go home. Go and find 2, 3, 4, 5 people and shake their hand. Tell them you love them and appreciate them as you leave. God bless you. Listen.